for People, Part 4, Ephesians 4, 29. One of my favorite scriptures. Building Others Up, specific title for the sermon today. First week, we talked about being quick to listen and slow to speak. The second week, we talked about carrying each other's burdens, especially when that burden involves a brother or sister falling into sin. Not just that, but we talked about mainly that. And we gave ourselves a question to ask others when they're carrying a heavy burden. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? Last week, we talked from the book of Titus. Titus focuses on good deeds. He mentions good deeds over and over again. So we've said, find a pressing need and do a good deed. And that's true because it rhymes. And today we're talking about building others up with our words. So the Apostle Paul says to the church at Ephesus in 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Heavenly Father, help us to not let any unwholesome words come out of our mouth. Help our words only to build people up, that may benefit those who listen. Let it be so. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Number one. In the name of Jesus, I insist there is a way Christians must live. In the name of Jesus, I insist there is a way Christians must live. Well, I only insist because Paul insists. And Paul insists because he believes Jesus insists. And I want to read you what he says about his insisting that there's a way Christians must live. Let's back up to verses 17 through 24 in chapter 4. Paul tells the Christians there, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, so in the name of Jesus, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. This is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. And when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul insists, in the name of Jesus, that there is a way that Christians must live, that Christians are accountable for this. If you're a non-Christian here today or listening to this, you can just do these words for free. You can just try them out. But if you are a Christian here and you have been changed by Christ, Paul says, I insist that this is the way we must live. He's writing to a church that's made up of mainly Gentiles. They're former pagans, but they have become Christians, and they're trying to figure out how to live like a Christian, how to live for Christ, coming from a pagan Gentile background. Their worldview of being a pagan, of being a Gentile, did not reflect the behavior of a Christian. Their worldview reflected the worldview of a pagan. They were darkened in their behavior. They were ignorant. They had hard hearts, Paul told them. Why did they do this? Because they worshiped these pagan gods. They worshiped these Roman gods, and the Roman gods were all about themselves. So they come from a pagan background where it said, be all about yourself. But now they're ex-pagans. They're Christians. The world you came from is very different than the world you came into. Being a pagan is very different than being a Christian. There is a different type of morality. There is a morality that is associated with Christianity. This type of morality was not associated with being a pagan. Paul says that's just the way it is, and I insist on it. You see, in the pagan society, in that Gentile worshiping the Roman God society, if you were poor, if you were a woman, if you come from a conquered people, which many of them did, if you were a slave, well, too bad. Life just dealt you a bad hand, and pagan said might makes right in any of these categories and in several more. They did not have the might, so they were not right, so it was too bad to be them. But now Jesus comes along, and Paul comes along, and the early church comes along, and they start advocating for a different morality, for a different lifestyle, for a different way of being. And Jesus and Paul and the early church were advocating for things that you and I in the 21st century Western world, things that we just assume. They were advocating for things then that you and I just assume are natural and normal and the way things should be. You assume that people have individual rights. Now we fight and argue about what those rights should be. But you assume that individuals have rights. But Paul and Jesus and the early church had to advocate for that because that was not the case in first century. You assume the dignity of the individual, but they had to advocate for that. You assume women should be treated with the same respect as a man. Some woman should have said amen, and some man should have said amen, I guess. We just assume that's natural. But Jesus and Paul and the early church had to advocate for this. You assume that the poor should not be mistreated. At least I hope you do. But Jesus and Paul and the early church had to advocate for that. You assume that sexual abuse is wrong. At least I hope you do, and I do. But Jesus and Paul and the early church had to advocate for that because it was not wrong. It was not considered wrong. So why do we assume these things are normal and natural? Because not all the world assumes this. Those things that individual rights are not assumed around the world. Do you know that? We assume that in the West. Why do we assume that in the Western world? Because I believe Jesus and Paul and the early church and Christianity has impacted and changed the world by the things they were advocating for. And Christianity has not been perfect, not by a long shot, and it's still not. But it has impacted, it has changed the world, and the perfection of it, the goal of it, to be like Jesus, to be like Paul, to be like the early church, that's what we're moving towards. The reason the Western world has the values it does is because Jesus, whether you are a believer or not, you have been seeped in this world. You have been impacted by this world. So Paul tells these ex-pagans, he said, take all that pagan stuff that you've come from. And this is what he's advocating for. And he says, things are different now as a Christian. And he said, I insist on this. In verses 23 and 24, he says, you were created to be like God. Not to be God, but to be like God in righteousness and holiness. So that's what he was advocating for. And he gives some very practical applications of what being like God, of what being like Jesus looks like in the verses that follow. And the one that we're going to focus on is the verse that we read today, Ephesians 4:29. How are we going to be like God? How are we going to be righteous and holy like God? Number two, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Talk, word. Do not let any unwholesome word. Do not, the Greek word is logos. You heard that word before? Logos. It's the word that was used to describe Jesus as well. Do not let any unwholesome logos, philosophy, talk, the way you describe life come out of your mouth. Unwholesome. That word was used to describe rotting, smelly, spoiled meat. Unwholesome, rotten fish, rotten fruit, rotten chicken, or the smell you got when you took off your sandals in that desert sun. They would call your sandals unwholesome, those dirty sandals. Those shoes that you work in, those shoes that you cut the grass in, distasteful. My daughter was cleaning out the refrigerator at a work site this week that she helped me at my part-time job. She was cleaning out the refrigerator and she found some old chicken in there that had been there for months and it had stuff growing on it, you know. And she voxed me. I was on the other side of the building. She said, "You have to come throw this trash can, this trash away now, because there's some nasty chicken in there." So I came and I got the chicken and threw it away. Unwholesome. Anything that is distasteful. Do not let any distasteful thing come from your mouth. Avoid the rotten chicken mouth. Avoid having that distasteful words come from your mouth. Do not let. Apparently we have control over this. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, covered by the blood of Jesus, so do not let. Oh, I can't control what I say. I'm just going to say. Paul says you can. In the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, do not let. You put the guard at the door of your mouth. You're in charge of cleaning out the fridge. That old chicken's got to go. It's got to be thrown away. The thing is, we like to take that old chicken that's got stuff growing on it and get it out and serve it for dinner. You say, that's gross. Well, some of our conversations are gross when we put each other down. Distasteful words, desire to rush out of our mouth, desire to get out all the time. But do not let them. We do not serve them for dinner. We guard our mouths. Guard your mouth. Do not. That's what we're not supposed to do. Do not let these unwholesome, distasteful, smelly, stinky words come from your mouth. So do not. That's what we're not supposed to do. Well, what are we to do? Don't just not do something. We always tell people not to do something. We never tell them what to do. Well, Paul tells us what to do. Number three, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. But only. You've stopped the words at the gate. You stop them at the door. They were trying to get out. They were trying to get into the conversation. And you said, "Sorry, I need to check your bags. I got to check for anything distasteful. I can't come in here. Can't come into the conversation. Got to make sure you're not smuggling any rotten chicken in here into this conversation. Only got to let words in that are helpful for building others up according to their needs. All right, I checked your bag. These are helpful words. These are helpful words. These will build people up. All right, you can enter now." Only what is helpful for building, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You say, that sounds really nice and sweet and cheery and, yeah, but it won't work at all. Not in my family it won't. Not around my dinner table it won't. Not at my workplace it won't. Not with the customer service I have to deal with. That stuff doesn't work. You can't raise kids that way. You can't go to work that way. That's just, it doesn't work. You know, telling your child, you know, I would appreciate it, sweetie, if you wouldn't shave the dog anymore, you know. That'd be awful nice. You know, he doesn't like it, and plus you're getting hair everywhere. You're the manager of the store, you know, and your employee, and it'd be awful nice if you could show up for work once every now and then, you know. I mean, we are paying you. Brother, sister, you know, it would be nice if you wouldn't break into my room and steal my stuff. I'd appreciate that, you know. Coach telling the person on the team, you know, it would be nice if you'd come to practice and exercise a little bit. It would help yourself out and help us out a lot. Paul's point is not just be nice. That's not what his point is. Paul's point is to be helpful. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful, not nice. You underline the word helpful if you underline stuff in your Bible. But only what is nice. It doesn't say that. It says helpful. Sometimes that may mean saying the hard things. Now you say the hard things in the right way, but you still say the hard things. Some of us definitely need to dial our words back because our words are not helpful. They're not even close to being nice. And we definitely need to dial our tone, our attitude, our words back. But some of us need to dial our words up some because we're just, you know, it sure would be nice if you did. And he's not saying to be nice. He's saying to be helpful for building others up. Every conversation is a construction site. Every conversation you have is a construction site. You're either going to build people up or you're going to demolish them. What's your construction site going to look like? Your words are the building materials or your words are the sledgehammer. Consider every single word as something that will complete the construction project. Every conversation I have can either make someone better or it can tear them down. Is that the standard we have for our marriages? Is that the standard we have for our children? Is that the standard we have for our parents? Is that the standard we have for our friends? Is that the standard we have for our churches? The words that come from my mouth are not going to be wholesome, but they're going to build people up. And I'm not saying you can't be funny, because that would just drive me crazy. I couldn't live that way. But am I wanting to make people laugh, or am I wanting to put people down with my words? And I struggle with this because I like to laugh and I like to joke. But we can do this. We can do this, and we do this so that they will be better for it. It will be for their benefit. Many of the times I like to talk to get my needs met and to get someone to do something for me. But Paul tells these ex-pagans that is not the Jesus way. That's the ex-pagan way, but that is not the Jesus way. My words should be for their benefit. Oh, my words should be for their benefit. How often do we do that? Someone asked me last week, said, we're talking about this stuff, caring for people. They asked me, who should go first? Like in a marriage or in a relationship. Who should go first to do these things? And my answer was, make it a competition. I get to go first in building you up. No, I get to go first in building you up. No, I get to go first in caring for your needs. No, 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 no. I get to go first in caring for your needs. Can you imagine how good your marriage, your relationship would be if that was our attitude, if we tried to outdo each other in building each other up? Well, what if the person's not that way? What if they have rotten chicken words coming out of their mouth all the time? And they don't build us up, they put us down. Well, first of all, I don't want to give you a blanket statement. I would like to talk to you individually about your individual situation and give wise advice individually. But just in general, this is where you trust and obey the Lord. If they will not build you up, if they are always demolishing and pushing you down, you obey Jesus. You build them up because that is what Jesus like, and he wants you to be like him. And you trust that he will work things for good, that he will build you up, that he has more ways to build you up than just through that person that you're wanting to build you up, that you're wanting to care for you. Again, talk to me individually. We pray about your situation. We don't want to just give a generic blanket statement, but you trust and obey. And then we know that our words are for their benefit. The person we're talking to, it's for their benefit. I want to tell my story. I want to be heard. In my conversations, I want to get my opinion out there. They're going to know what I think about what I saw on television. And I definitely want to get the last word in. And if the case calls for it, I want to get the zinger in, the roast in. I want to say, toasted. I want to toast them. Just That's the way the pagans live. But Christians, I insist that we leave people better through the conversations. Because if we don't, you know what happens if we don't? Verse 30 says we grieve the Holy Spirit. If we tear people down, if we don't build people up, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In our conversations, when we tear people down, the Holy Spirit goes, oh no! I was trying to build this person up, and here you are tearing them down. I struggle with this. My guess is so do many of you. The world we live in likes us to struggle with this. The 24/7 news cycle likes us to struggle with this. Social media likes us to struggle with this. I believe 24/7 news and social media, they major in, they perfected, they promote unwholesome talk that tears people down. That's the society we live in. So we have to deal with the root cause. We have to deal with the root cause of these demolishing, rotten, chicken, distasteful, unwholesome words that come out of our mouth. He says, if you're going to do this right, if you're going to build people up and stop tearing people down, you have to deal with the root cause of this unwholesome talk that comes from your mouth. Well, what is the root cause? Number four. The root cause of the unwholesome talk, if we're going to live this right, is to get rid of all bitterness. If you want to do this, you can't just go, I'm going to do this. You have to first get rid of all bitterness. Verse 31. Get rid of it. Pack it up and throw it away. Pack everything up that leads to bitterness, that's cluttering your life, and take it down to the dumpster and let Bob take it away. Or waste management take it away. Or whoever you have, take it away. You see, my bitterness will show up in what I say. Bitterness shows up in the words that I say and how I say them and who I say them to. And I can't be a builder of people if I am bitter. My bitterness will bleed through in my words. my bitterness will bleed through in my tone. My bitterness will bleed through in my attitude. So how do I get rid of the bitterness? It requires forgiveness. I have to learn how to forgive the things that happened to me in my past. I become bitter because of the words others have spoken about me. And I become bitter because of the words that people have spoken to me and over me. You know, Mom and Dad never built me up, and Dad was a mean cuss or whatever. And he spoke death over me and tore me down, and now I'm bitter. That ex you had, you weren't perfect by any means, but man, he tore you down and she tore you down. And now you're bitter about all these things. You didn't even realize you were, but all of a sudden you're having a conversation and bitterness just comes out in your words. You go, whoa, where'd that come from? It comes from the past. It comes from bitterness. All these things that were taken from me have made me bitter. All these things that were said over me and done to me have made me bitter. And I'm dealing with those past relationships through bitterness, and it's affecting the words that I'm saying in my current relationships. Bitterness is trying to pay someone back that has nothing to do with the issue. I'm trying to pay Mama back or Daddy back or relationship back, but they're not around anymore. So I'm taking it out on my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, the conversations I have, the guy riding down the road. And bitterness is just pouring out. So I got to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is giving someone from the past what they don't deserve. I'll go ahead and admit it. Dad doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve your forgiveness. He doesn't deserve it. He was that. And he doesn't deserve it. But you give him that forgiveness. You give him that mercy, that grace that he doesn't deserve. Why? So you can give the grace and the things that the people around you need. You can give them what they do deserve. And what do they deserve? They deserve love, compassion. They deserve your words to build them up. That's what your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your friends need. And it's what you need for your own soul. It's what you need for your own sanity. So we get rid of the bitterness. We get rid of the, and bitterness leads to rage, and bitterness leads to anger, and bitterness leads to brawling, and bitterness leads to slander and malice, Paul says. So we have to get rid of all these things. All these things that demean, all these things that degrade, all these things that disrespect, we have to get rid of. We have to stop demeaning people. Our words can tell people that they do not matter. You have no meaning. You do not matter. Demean. But God says they do matter to me. And if she matters to me, she should matter to you. We have to get rid of the words that degrade. We tell people, you do not make the grade. You do not measure up to my standard. You have failed. You are a loser. But God comes along and says, you did not measure up to my standard, but I forgave you, accepted you, and loved you, and did for you what you could not do for yourself. So I expect you to do it for others. I have to get rid of the disrespect. That person is not worthy of my respect. But God says, I respect them. I respected them so much, I loved them and died for them. See, we're not called to treat people the way they have treated us. We're called to treat people the way God has treated us. That's the standard. And Paul says, I insist on this. So be quiet, be kind, and say the hard things. Say the helpful things in the right way. Be compassionate. Don't just ignore their needs. Don't just ignore the emotions. Forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you, just as God forgave you in Christ. Speak to others the way God has spoken to you. So where do I have work to do? Where do you have work to do? That's the question to ask. Here's a better question. Who hopes you get to work on it soon? Who in your life hopes you get to work on this stuff very soon because they need you to get to work on it? Because the people closest to us are usually the ones that we unload on. The people that are closest to us are usually the ones we hurt the most by our unwholesome, rotten chicken words that tear them down. I remember where I was when I first really read. I read Ephesians 4:29. I could take you to the spot where I was standing. I was praying at a church, and I had a Bible open, and I read Ephesians, and I got to 4:29, and I read that verse. I could show you where I was standing, and the Holy Spirit says, "That's for you." And it just exploded, because I need that verse. Because I have a sharp tongue sometimes, a lot of times. I know it. And the Holy Spirit says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need. And I say that verse all the time. It just comes out of my mouth all the time. I would say I have Ephesians 4:29 memorized more than any other verse in the entire scripture. Because the Holy Spirit knows what I need. You say, well, it sure ain't helping much, some of the things you say. Well, you don't know how bad I would be if I hadn't memorized that verse and it wasn't part of my life. Could you imagine how well we would be and how well we would care for people if this became a part of our life? Just how much better we would be. How much more we would be like Christ. If we let no unwholesome talk, no rotten chicken talk come out of our mouths and serve it for dinner, but only what is helpful for being a construction worker and building people up according to their need, not my need, and their need, that it may benefit them, that my words may benefit them, the conversations I have may benefit them. And then I wouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then I would really, really care for people. How's that sound? Live for Jesus this week. This week, memorize Ephesians 4:29. And then 15 years from now, you'll be standing somewhere and you'll tell somebody, I memorized this verse. I remember where I was. I had this crazy preacher. He was talking about this, and I remember him preaching about it, and that verse just came alive. Ephesians 4:29. Number two, we've all had people to tear us down, but who in your life has been there to build you up? How have they done that? You answer these questions because the way they built you up is the way you get examples of going around of building other people up. Number three, if you were to make a list of the people you want to build up, who is at the top? Who needs to be at the top? What do they need to hear, and how can you be more intentional about building them up? How can you be more intentional about building those people up? And number four, write down on a piece of paper the things from your past that cause you to be bitter. As a symbol of what God is doing inside you, take it down to the trash and throw it away. If you so choose, just a symbolic example of what God is doing inside of you. Write those things down. Tear them up real small so nobody sees them, you know. And take them down to the trash. When you take the dumpster down, or when you take whatever, if you have a dumpster in the park, you take, I'm going to take this. I'm not going to let this, what mom and dad and the ex relationship, whatever it was, make me bitter anymore. I'm going to throw it away. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit just work this stuff and get rid of this stuff in my life. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your word come alive in our hearts and our minds and our souls today. Do not let. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. So now, do not let any unwholesome talk, any rotten talk, come out of your mouth. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. Maybe you need to repent today. Tell somebody you're sorry. So we just begin right now. Lord, I repent for the way I talked to that person. Lord, I repent of the way that I tried to tear them down. I tried to demean them, degrade them, and disrespect them, oh God. So Lord, I repent right now the way I talked to my grandchild. I repent right now the way I talked to my children, my friend. Lord, forgive me. They get under my skin. You know they do. I'm fallen. I'm broken. But you love them. Let me treat them the way you treated me. So I repent of these things. And Father, when I get the chance, the opportunity, led by your Holy Spirit, I'll seek forgiveness from them. I'll ask for forgiveness. I'll tell them I'm sorry. Help me to do this. This won't be easy for me, but help me to do this. Empower me by your Holy Spirit. Help me. And now, Lord, the bitterness from my past, whatever it may be, the bitterness from my childhood, the bitterness, maybe the bitterness from a year ago, is impacting me. I noticed it in the words I said. I noticed it in how I treated my wife, my husband, my daughter, my children, my friend. Where did that bitterness come from? Help me to discover where the bitterness come from, and help me to forgive and leave those things behind and get rid of the bitterness and the rage and the anger. I forgive. Forgive me of my debts as I forgive my debtors. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like somebody's been hurt. You've been torn down by somebody in your past. You've been demeaned, and you've been degraded by them. You've been disrespected by them. And it's hurt you. But I believe God wants to set you free today through forgiveness and getting rid of that bitterness and just letting it go and watch Him work things for good. So right now, in Jesus' name, just say, I forgive. I forgive that person that demeaned me, that degraded me, that disrespected me, that just beat me down year after year with their words. I let that go. I believe you'll start feeling better. Spiritually, emotionally, even physically, when you let this go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Help them, oh God. Help them, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you're able, would you stand with us? If you would like for me to pray with you about this message, about what God has spoken to you through this message before we're dismissed today, would you come as we sing unto the Lord? Everybody just keep worshiping for a moment. If you need prayer this morning about this message, would you come? And I'll believe with you. I'll pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
So let my deeds outrun my words, and let my life outweigh my song. So let my deeds outrun my words.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Unbroken praise be yours, God, forever. Holy Spirit, fill our lives, our hearts, our souls, our minds. We don't want to grieve you. We want to be walking in the presence of the Spirit. We surrender our words to you. Build our relationships through our words. Covered by the blood of Jesus, empowered by your Holy Spirit for the glory of God the Father. And we thank you for it. We honor you for it. We say, let it be so. Lord, I ask that you would just bless your people. That you would make your face shine upon your people. That you would be gracious to your people and you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.